Now it's time for a musical discussion with interesting characters. My Life, My Music with Chris Wherry on Radio SI.
The guest in My Life, My Music this week is a musician, and I will quote from something he wrote back in 2016. I'm a singer, songwriter, producer from Slovenia. I also play many instruments, but my priority is guitar. Any kind of guitar. In fact, if it has strings, I want to play it. Welcome to the studio, Jan Šošić.
Thank you, Chris. I'm very happy to be here.
It's a great pleasure to have you here, and I've been to a few of your gigs, and you're an amazing artist. You really manage to galvanize a whole audience, no matter whether it's 50 people or 5,000, it seems to me, and you seem at home on the stage.
Yeah, well, I wasn't always like that, but I always loved performing, you know, just from being a little kid with guitar. And my journey has been like more than 10 years now for being a professional musician. Most of my gigs have been only me and my guitar. And I learned through that how to kind of overcome my fear of performing. I had a big fear of performing. And when I overcame that, I had a feeling like you said, I feel like home when I'm on stage now.
It's very visible. And you share everything with the audience. You need the audience to respond. And I love the way you build that. Much of it is in the songs you choose, of course. But it's a very organic place to be, an audience in front of you.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope the audience feel like that, because I definitely feel like that. And it wasn't always like that, because the audience didn't respond. Like my early years, they didn't respond to me when I came on the stage, and I didn't have so much songs and the people didn't know them, but I always craved that, yeah.
Sure, but I mean, you've achieved it, but that's hard work and also some significant talent, I might say. I think there's no doubt about that. Let's talk about, I asked you to choose music. Music is obviously, it's a stupid question, important to you. How did you go about these choices?
Well, the music has always been the most important thing to me, because it has been like a therapy when like bad things happen in my life, and also when I'm happy, I put on music, I enjoy it. Basically, yeah, if one thing I have to say about music, it has always stayed with me no matter what. So people leave, you know, things leave, but music stayed, and that's my relationship to music now.
These tracks that you've chosen, though, start back in the bands that were around in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, I don't know if you know. Actually, my father is a musician, but he wasn't like professional in any stage of his life. But he showed me the CCR and a lot of bands. You know, we actually listened to this song, Have You Ever Seen the Rain, on vinyl when I was a little kid, and we played it. And when I was 5 or 6 years old, he showed me the first chords on the guitar, and before even I went to the music school, I knew all the chords, basically, because of my father.
And that's your first choice, Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Yeah, I chose it because I wanted you and everyone that is listening to see which was the first music, which this song is actually very simple to play, but it had so much life and so much character. And I'm happy that this was in my upbringing, because my father chose this song, I think, the first or the second one.
To teach you the playing.
Yeah.
The sound of Creedence Clearwater Revival, which I guess not everybody in Slovenia knows particularly well. Have You Ever Seen the Rain? But it's a great track. It's a really nice piece of music. And as you say, it's fairly simple, but it's a very powerful song. Yeah. Your own music contains lots of different influences, it seems to me. You obviously embrace the Balkan region, and maybe to some extent even sort of gypsy music and so on, because that's very visible in your performances, that you bring onto the stage people from all sorts of genres too.
Yeah, I do, because I'm also a producer and a songwriter for other people, and the collaborating for music was always a thing I loved. And also, if you know, listened to my songs from like 10 years and then 5 years, I started mostly with pop songs, and then I heard John Mayer, and then I heard like many of the blues artists, and I fell in love with that, and I played guitar like that. And my first album actually had a lot of blues influences and a bit of jazzy influences.
The first album is This Is Me?
Yeah, yeah, This Is Me is my first album. And actually, even before that, after my father showed me those kind of songs, he showed me Oliver Dragojevic, uh-huh. and he showed me the songs from Croatia, and I didn't understand them fully at the time. But it's actually, I think, in our DNA, in our Balkan DNA, these melodies and this, as we call it, patnja, which is a character as we sing it.
It's one of the things that you bring to the stage, isn't it? Because your love of Balkan music in general, it could be Serbia, it could be any part of the region, yeah. And you just said Croatia. You bring that to the stage in a way which you present it differently to the original performances, different elements, but it does mean the whole audience will sing along with you.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched a lot of great performers and I learned a lot from them. I've actually been on stage with a lot of performers, even like Jan Plesteniak, which is like more than 30 years now on the scene, and I've played shows with him and see how he works the crowd. I've learned a lot from those people, but I think the most important thing is to be honest, you know, when you come on the stage and just whatever you feel like doing and whatever you feel like saying, the people will feel it and they will just eat it out of the palm of your hand, you know.
Sure, but that makes it a good evening for everyone, including you.
Of course, as I told you what we were not recording, I had to like put away the ego because I thought most of the time, in my earlier days in the career, I thought I have to play the guitar and do the singing and everyone comes to the show and watch me how good I am. It's not about that. It's about what I give to the people. I want the people, when they go out from the gig, from the venue, to fly like 3 meters above the earth and just say, wow, that was so good. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm here now on the stage. I want to give the people the best possible.
And presumably, because you can see that from the reaction of the audience, presumably you are in the same place. You leave the stage happy and maybe flying too.
It's such an adrenaline rush. It's such a high. I don't know any bigger or better high than being on the stage.
So you obviously love what you're doing.
I love it. I can't imagine being without it. Yeah.
Well, you just mentioned Oliver Dragojevic, so shall we play some music
from him? Of course.
What's the track?
The track is Sa dva zrna lažnog srebra, which is from my favorite album from Oliver Dragojevic. This album, actually, it's called Vridilo je, and it was the least commercial album from him. But I know so many of his songs. Me and my father are great fans of him, and we play a lot of his songs.
The guest in the program today, Jan Sršić. Jan, we've spoken a little bit about music in particular, but let's just talk a little bit about young you. Yes, your father helped you learn the guitar and you started that at a very early age. But what about other things? I mean, were you a good kid at school? Did you do well there? Did you have loads of friends? Was it a good time for you?
I was kind of rebellious throughout middle school and high school. I didn't feel very good at school.
Okay.
Like, I didn't feel following the system, like, was the thing for me. I've had a few friends which had the same interests than me. And actually, when I was in seventh grade, they kicked me out of the choir, the school choir, because I was singing first and the second and the third, like every voices I was singing, and because I was hearing them in my head and I was producing even then. But actually, it was a good thing, because when the teacher kicked me out, she said, I want you to get a band. The school will give you the drums, the guitars, and the bass, and you have to
put together a band. That's not kicking you out,
it's kicking you up. Yeah, she was.
You were promoted.
She was. And then I actually had to learn myself, because no one knew how to play the drums or play the bass. So I learned the drums and I learned the bass, and then I teached my two of the best friends, which we were like getting together, and we created a band. And then from then on, the love just kind of, this is what I want to do now.
Mm. And you have made it a successful journey, haven't you? From a family point of view, was that this happy times, being a kid and school and so on? Because you obviously had support from your parents.
Yeah, it was always a support, but it actually, when I was 11 years old, my parents separated, and that was kind of a traumatic event for me.
Very.
I think still to this day, it kind of has an impact on me, like on my subconscious. But I've learned a lot about love from that. And I think I wouldn't be able to write those songs, those kind of songs about pain and love, if that wouldn't have happened then when I was 11 years old, because then I didn't understand it. Even when I got older, I started to talk about it with my parents and saw that even they didn't understand it, because my mother was with my father from 17 years old. Like, she was, I think, 16, but at 17, she had a daughter. So she was just a kid, you know. And then 20 years, and then they separated, and I learned a lot about that.
Life lessons, they can be tough, but probably strengthen you in the end.
Well, every lesson that I learned that was very tough, I learned the most from it, yeah. I think that can be presentable when I'm on stage. I can sing from a different perspective, from a different dimension, because I felt the pain.
Yeah, that's probably why it comes over, because, you know, what you sing appears to be from your heart, no matter what the story is, it seems to come from your heart. What is the next piece of music?
The next piece of music is Juanes, Tengo la Camisa Negra.
Okay.
And I've chosen it because, actually, my sister, which is 8 years older, she was listening to Juanes when I was 8 or 9 years old, and I've always liked this kind of Spanish vibe, and then I didn't know this would influence me so much. Like, if you listen to my last 3 songs, it has kind of a Balkan Spanish vibe, and I fell in love with it even then, and now I felt that it's the time to kind of incorporate that kind of music into it. And Juanes is like a very talented guy, very cool arrangement, very, very good at producing the songs. And
it's a great song. I don't know what the story of the black shirt is, mind you, but still.
No, I don't know. I don't know the, I don't know the story behind it too, but I just know it's a great song. It's a great solo on the guitar too.
Yes, another great performer, Juanes. And Tengo?
Tengo, yeah.
Tengo la camisa negra, the black shirt. Nice music. Let's talk more about you and beginning to know you wish to perform, literally, on stage. What was your first performance in front of anyone? Was it just a group of friends or whatever?
Well, actually, the first performance was in the kindergarten.
Okay.
That performance I remember, and I think I will remember it for the rest of my life, because I blacked out. I forgot the lyrics and I couldn't remember them. And from that moment, I said, I'm never going to perform again. I said it to my mom. I'm never going to perform again. And
a traumatic experience.
Yeah, it was. And I think a lot of my fear of performing, like half an hour before the show, I was on the toilet. I couldn't perform. I was shaking. I was nervous. I was sweating with cold hands. Actually, my first performances were in the music school when I was playing classical guitar. First and the second show, I couldn't even remember it when I came from the stage. I had such a fear of performing.
And yet I expect the performance was okay.
The performance was like zero mistakes. But it was like on autopilot.
Yeah, of course, yes. It didn't have the emotion and the relaxation.
Yeah, no.
But it was an accurate performance.
My mom even said to me, you were staring at one point the whole concert. How could you do that? I said, I don't remember it. I don't know. The second performances where I felt a bit different was actually in the middle school, then 7th or 8th grade, with my band that I've just put together.
But now you're working as a group, as a team, and you're supporting one another.
Yeah. I didn't want to let them down.
No, quite.
So that was the change of a perception,
And it allows you to perform to one another.
Yeah.
If you don't want to make a big thing about the audience, if you're still nervous of audiences.
But it was always, for me, it was always about the audience. It was always about, I want to make them feel good. That's me as a producer. I always tell that to the artist I'm working with, because I see so many people, they come on stage and they say hi and then they perform and they kind of...
They shrink them into themselves.
You're here for the people. You're not here for your drummer you see every day and you perform with,
Can you remember which performance was the one where you really felt you'd actually got to that point, where you really were communicating and you were comfortable with that?
Yeah. It was actually last year. Last year in March, yeah.
Only a year ago, and you were really comfortable on the stage.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's funny, because it was the first time I sold out a show. And with that mindset coming into the venue, it's like...
Where was this?
It was in Ljubljana City Theater.
Oh,
it was 250 people. But it was the first time I sold out a show. But it was this mindset, those people all came for me and they paid for the tickets and now the venue is full. So that must mean I'm kind of good, you know. They wanted to see me perform and now I have to give them my best. I think the problem before was that I was seeing myself from the people and then kind of judging myself, you know. Yeah. And if you're judgmental to yourself, you're kind of judgmental to the people too that are downstairs because you kind of think about how they're thinking. And that's just when you go into that cycle as you're on stage, you don't know what to say. You don't know how to react. You don't know what
to say. But I guess with that particular performance, they were on your side, as it were, right from the beginning.
Yeah.
That's great.
I think, and a big fact was that my band, I formed this band after like five or six groups maybe. Mm-hmm. I've changed like completely. Sure. This was my sixth group and we actually found a sound that was different from anyone else and I felt completely like comfortable on stage with them.
Great stuff. So, do we hear you next?
Yeah, I actually chose this song because it's, I think, the only one in English. And
okay.
I wanted
sweet of you.
Yeah, I wanted you to hear my English and it's so bad here.
It's not bad at all.
It's actually because it's like 5 or 6 years ago, I recorded this song and it has this kind of a Latino vibe.
And you do everything.
I did everything in this song.
You play all the instruments, including the percussion and drum stuff.
Yeah, including that.
Or the beatbox or whatever. Yeah, you do
and
everything.
I mixed it and I mastered it.
And it's very high quality. From
thanks.
A recording, technical thanks, recording thanks, point of view. It's very high quality.
And I recorded it in my room in Leonard then, because I lived in Leonard. It was actually on an equipment that was worth about 200 euros.
That's a great lesson, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you do it right, it's not about money, it's about what you understand, both technically and artistically.
Yeah, it's mostly, you know, about what you hear and what you want to hear and you know how to achieve it.
How could you do this to me, baby? Do you enjoy watching me get hurt? And all of the promises we made, they disappear with every text you sent him, with every word. You lied about not seeing anyone. You lied about me being your only one. You lied about not wanting me to be hurt. The truth is that you wanted me to burn. Cause baby, with every lie you make, it's just another step you take into your emotional cave. Your emotional cave. Into your emotional cave. But baby, with every lie you make, just another step you take into your emotional cave. Your emotional cave. Into your emotional cave. Between you, it wouldn't hurt as much if you would just come up and say it to my face. All of the words that you are saying now to him, I still can't get it out. Not so long ago, you were saying them to me. You lied about you two are only friends. You lied about being in love. But the truth is that I fell in love with girl that made sense. But you're just not that girl anymore. Baby, with every lie you make, it's just another step you take into your emotional cave. Your emotional cave. Into your emotional cave. No, 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 no. Baby, with every lie you made, it's just another step you take your emotional cave. Your emotional cave. Into your emotional cave. is just another step you take into your emotional cave, your emotional cave, into your emotional cave. Cause baby, with every lie you make, it's just another step you take into your emotional cave, your emotional cave, into your emotional cave. Na 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 na. Baby, with every lie you make, it's just another step you take into your emotional cave, your emotional cave.
Emotional Cave. A great video. It's really fun to watch, you know, with you doing a bit of everything. And it's 6 minutes long, so I'm sorry. We had to shorten it a little bit. I guess you're happy, though, giving away some of those tasks to other people and having a band on the stage.
Yeah, oh, yeah. This was kind of a moment in my career when I wanted to show off everything.
Yeah, why not?
It's not the point, you know. But
no, but it's part of the story.
It's a part of the story, and now I know it was because of my kind of a complex I had from being a pop musician, mm-hmm. and now I wanted to show everybody and my colleagues, mm-hmm. musicians, you know, I know how to play a bass, I know how to play this guitar, mm-hmm. and that guitar, mm-hmm. and that guitar. And as I grew up, I found out that this really wasn't the point. It was me sharing my experiences through songs to the people.
And giving them enjoyment.
Of course.
Giving them probably emotional support too.
Yeah, so many people come up to me after a show and they say, you've helped me through such a hard experience. I broke up, someone even passed away, and I've listened to your songs and they helped me. And that means the world to me.
That means everything, absolutely. Yeah. Being successful is one thing financially, but being successful and really relating to an audience is something super special.
Yeah, money can't buy this. You know?
No, indeed not. How do you choose who else comes on the stage with you? Are these people that you've met in other ways? In Maribor, for example, you brought out other musicians as well. So there was a jazz influence in there. Tell me about that.
I do that a lot of times because those are my friends and I respect them deeply. And Yanis Shepetavets is one of them. He plays saxophone. He actually recorded for me my last song, which is coming out in like a month. And the first time we performed together was in Svetličarna last year, and I was so impressed by his playing and his musicality. And now when I have bigger gigs, I just invite him, and we had so much fun on the stage. We have it every time.
And there's a lot of physical movement too. You like to move around the stage. You like to go to different people at different times and things like that. It's a big act, actually, a lot of it, isn't it? It's really cool for that. I don't mean an act in a negative sense. I mean, it's a great performance. It's not just a piece of music.
I like to look at my performance as an act, actually, because it's the whole experience, you know. It's not just the playing, it's the character you bring on the stage.
And at this point, apart from lights and set effects, you're not doing anything other than a musical performance. There's not a mass of video effects or anything else.
No.
Are you looking in that direction? Are you thinking about making it more of a visual stage show?
Well, as of right now, no. Never say never.
No,
maybe
absolutely.
Maybe in the future, but in Svetličarna, we had, like, for every song, we had a visual presentation also and some cuts from the official music videos. Mm-hmm. That was kind of cool, but I don't want to bring that to every stage right now because I play venues from 400 people to now maybe a few thousand people.
Yeah. And that doesn't matter to you, does it? You can be playing to a few hundred. You're just as comfortable.
Yeah, even more comfortable when I'm playing to a smaller crowd.
You can make it more personal.
Yeah, I make it more personal. I come down and I talk to them and sing with them.
It's bringing people onto the stage and so on as well.
Bring people onto the experience, on this boat I'm sailing.
Okay.
I was sailing it for like 10 years on my own, and then the band came, which I called them Shakali, which is jackals, actually.
Okay.
It's the meaning. And now I want to bring everyone to this boat and just want to sail.
So what about other influences? You are influenced by, it seems to me, a lot. You've already mentioned Spanish, well, actually a Colombian performer, but the Spanish feel to it.
Yeah.
And the Balkan thing, I mentioned it at the very beginning, but there is a lot of gypsy-ish kind of influences there.
Yeah, they just came naturally, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's.
Obviously, you know a lot of music from this region.
Yeah,
and its boundaries.
I've heard it a lot. I mostly like the character from this music. I think I'm most connected with it. When I connect with it, I mean in a way because my character is like that, you know. And I'm actually very introverted, but when I have fun, I want to be under the spotlight, you know. And that's how I want my music to feel, to sound, and to have this energy and this power in it, kind of full of emotions, but also kind of light. I want people to dance to it.
So talking of influences, let's have the next piece of music.
Yeah. The next piece of music is Jan Plesteniak, Piano Dvina, and this is actually a piece from him that is one of the most favorite songs I've heard from him. It was never a single. It wasn't commercial. So many great musicians also collaborated on this song. One of them is Angel Angus Petrovic, which is actually my bass player too now. And he recorded so many great pieces of music in Slovenia. But Jan Plesteniak, I'm happy to say he is my friend. And we worked together. I've been a guitar player and singer on his last tour. And for 1 year we collaborated on the stage. And he helped me with a lot of songwriting as a skill because he studied it throughout his career and studied.
It's a good career too.
Yeah,
it's an awful lot of successful pieces of music.
Successful career, and when I say studied it, he studied it like from the people, like he knows what is going to work from the terrain, you know. I wanted everyone just to hear this song because I think they didn't have the chance to be heard.
The sound of Jan Plesteniak, and in English anyway, drunk from wine.
Yeah, it means that. And actually the lyrics are, I want to be drunk from wine because now I'm only drunk from memories.
It's to recover from something less than perfect. But that's good, isn't it? It's yet another emotion. It's another thing you can bring to the stage, which you do incredibly well. And it's not just stage. I've looked at a number of things that you've done, not only the shows that I've been to. You have already mentioned it. You're happy with the small gigs and huge gigs. But you're obviously also happy in recording studio. You're also happy doing it solo. And the one thing I saw you doing a piece in TV, in the Good Morning program.
Okay.
And this I thought was interesting because there's the studio crew and a backing track, no band, and one other person who you could sing to as a real audience. But you were completely comfortable with that space. Most people would not even know how to play this. Or do I look at camera? Do I look at the ceiling? And, you know. You did all of that. You made it all feel comfortable.
Well, that's great to hear from someone like you. And actually, I didn't feel that comfortable because I didn't know how I was going to do it coming up to the event.
It struck me as a really difficult thing to do.
Yeah, it is. But when the music started, I kind of knew everything.
You switch on the act and it comes.
I switch on the Jean Sercic. Mm. You know, right now I'm just Jean. You know, I'm
just I get it.
Talking to you. And actually, many times that happens, and I wasn't feeling comfortable, like, without a guitar even.
You had nothing but a microphone.
2 years ago, I couldn't perform without a guitar, because a guitar is like a cover for your moves.
Yeah, you can forget the line, you can still play the tune.
Yeah, you just play the tune, and you just stand there, you know, or kind of rock the guitar. But without a guitar, you have to know where to put your other arm, or how to put your legs, how to stand.
Mm.
And I kind of, I wouldn't say learned that, but when I stopped thinking about it, it just came to me naturally.
Happened. Because you did act it out. And in the end, you acted it out to the lady who was your interviewer.
I always do that.
Well, why not?
Yeah.
You're quite popular with the ladies.
I think so too, yeah.
If you look at the audience, it's a little more female than male, for sure.
A little more meaning 90% female, 10%
English,
male.
English understatement.
Yeah.
Well. And the age group is pretty young.
Actually, the group is from like statistics from the people that buy tickets and on my social media, it's 26 to 34.
Okay.
So they're not that young anymore.
Yeah. But there are a lot of people in your audiences that are much younger than that.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean,
yeah.
My daughter's only 14, and at least the youngest is, and you know, she's at the front row. You know, she wants to see you up close.
Of course. I mean, at any age, I'm very happy. Like with, with everyone that connects to my music, just want to see me perform. So
it's great stuff. But we need to move on with music. What is next?
Next is Gypsy Kings, Jobi Joba.
I kind of get why you like this. It's about rhythm and it's about loads of guitars.
It's such a great piece of music. There's so many great guitar parts, and actually I really love the bass guitar in this song. I think it's so creative and they're such a good band.
We come to the last part of the show. Two more pieces of music left. My guest today is Jan Sercic. Let's try to look into the future. You can pull audiences all around Slovenia. Are you thinking of stepping further afield? Because you've done some touring with other bands.
Yeah. I've actually craved going out of Slovenia like when I was younger. But now I'm more focused on doing this album right now in Slovenian. Then maybe I will try Balkans. You know, I will try some
Sure, songs. You've got a bigger audience anyway.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
known around the Balkans, I'm sure.
Yeah. It was kind of my dream to go and do an English songs, but now when I'm more grown up, I feel Slovenia is such a big part of me. It has been throughout my career, and I want to be like a pop artist in Slovenia.
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe in the future.
You're more than pop, though. I wouldn't define you as pop at all.
But pop just means popular, you know.
Yeah,
Frank Sinatra was pop, and
he
was singing like jazzy tunes.
And that's the cool bit. I mean, we've said it, but jazz is in there, and Spanish influences are in there, and tango is in there, all sorts of stuff is in there. And I think that's what makes it great. What's the next piece of music?
So the next piece of music is Rosalia, La Fama. And I've chose Rosalia because she's such a great artist right now. I actually miss those kind of female artists here in Slovenia. She has a lot of sex appeal and a lot of character.
She doesn't wear much if you look at the video on this particular one.
She doesn't, but that's part of her show.
It is, and she does it with total confidence.
Yeah, total confidence. And also, the most important part, she sings very good.
Oh, extremely so. But again, a huge fusion, flamenco, pop, hip-hop, all sorts of stuff with it, with her music. Really, really special. Rosalia, and I'm not actually sure about the pronunciation of that.
In her song, she says, Rosalia.
Oh, yeah. Rosalia.
Rosalia.
Okay. I like the end bit, you know, be careful what you wish for.
Oh.
It's a really nice piece of music.
Yeah.
It's been a lovely journey. Thank you so much for coming into the studio. We've been through lots of different things. What have we missed? What is in your life when you're not doing music?
So a big part of my life is actually sports. I like to go to the gym. I play basketball. So that's, I think...
Very Slovene.
A big... Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
Because there are some really great basketball players in Slovenia.
Yeah, I like to eat great food. Good
what
food.
Do you call great food?
Just steaks, mainly.
Ah.
Mediterranean food, yeah.
Okay.
But I also love sushi. So sushi and great steaks. I like to enjoy in wine and good food and my friends. So that's Jean, basically.
That's enough, isn't it? You're into other sports? The sea?
Just swimming, but not any sports. I don't like skiing. I don't like anything.
That's interesting.
Like that.
No. You're a Slovene who doesn't like skiing.
Well,
it's
I
snowing outside.
Yeah,
people
I know.
People are shouting hooray.
I don't like snow also. So I've just been to Spain when I'm going to the Tenerife in like 5 days. So it's not, I don't like snowing
you like
that
the warmth.
Much. I like the warmth, yeah. I like the sea and the warmth. Yeah, that's heard also in my songs, you know, kind of.
Yeah,
Spanish
I think
vibe.
So. You're very warm in your songs.
Yeah. Thanks, Chris. Whatever that means.
Yeah, well, yeah, read into it whatever you wish.
Okay.
And we will end with...
I wanted to end with this song because actually this was kind of a breaking point in my career. I put it out last February and I don't even know what happened because... What I think happened is people just kind of got to know the genre from like 10 years. And when one song became a hit, all of those songs kind of made sense to them also. And if I didn't have all those songs, I think this would just be a one-hit wonder. So
it's become very popular.
It's become very popular. And I think most of the people that came to my gigs came because of this song.
Yep.
And then they heard also my other songs, and they said, wow, I love also that song and that song.
And they love singing along with the classic stuff that you do, that maybe other people's music as well. That's how you get the audience on your side.
I think so too, yeah.
It's great stuff. Anyway, Jan Sercic, thank you so much for coming into the studio. We finish with The Last Night.
Thank you so much too, Chris, for the invitation. I'm happy to come back anytime. And so this is like 401st.
This is show 401.
Wow. All the respect for you to just keep up with it.
It's all about Slovenia. Full of great people, Jan. Thank you.
Love it. Thanks.
Daj da te poljubim še zadnjič edina. Daj da te objame, le to nama ostane. Daj da te začutim še zadnjič edina, preden najin svet razpade. Le še ena noč, bora je strasti, ob tebi spet smrazi me, o ne vem kaj bolj boli. To da se oba bojiva, kaj je prav in kaj narobe. Ali to, da se sprašujem, kaj bo jutri, ko ne bo me. Kdo te bo bil po noči, ali sama boš zaspala? Kdo ti bo brisal solze, ali sama boš jokala? S kom se igre boš igrala, ki sem jaz si naučil te? S kom ljubezom boš delila, del mene še u. Sebi stisnem te zadnjič edina. Objemi zdaj močno me, da še enkrat poletiva. Daj da spet goriva kot sveče edina, kot vosek se topiva. Naj bo zdaj ta noč za vse najine noči. Kot prvič te vzamem, jutri zadnjič te spustim. Si za vedno.